to turn again to Exodus chapter 12. This is our anniversary day. Yesterday, 33 years ago, in weather like this, we had the opening of our, what was then, our new church building. And a good number of us here tonight were present on that occasion, and we can remember it well and how much we look forward to it. Well, tonight we're going to be thinking of that anniversary, and we're going to be thinking of it in the words of verse 26 of Exodus chapter 12. I'll read the whole verse and then emphasize the main part. "And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, What mean ye by this service?" And it's the phrase, "What mean ye by this service?" Why have an anniversary? Why look back to something that happened 33 years ago? That's a good question. Certainly with regard to this event, the children of Israel were to be able to tell the people, whenever their children asked, "Why are you doing this every year? Why are you marking this event that's mentioned here in the passage? Why every year on the 14th day of the first month do you have this observance?" Whenever that question was asked by the children, the people, their parents, the adults, were supposed to give them an answer. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3 that we are to sanctify the Lord God, set apart, reverence the Lord God in our hearts, that we might be able to give an answer to every man that asketh us a reason of the hope that is in us with meekness and fear. If anybody says, "Why are you a Christian? Why do you live the way you live?" We're supposed to be on the alert and right away, without any thought whatsoever, be able to give the answer. And this is the point here. Why do you observe this event? Why mark it the way you do? And the children of Israel were supposed to be able to tell all who asked them. You know the background here. There was a great mission that the Lord was engaged upon. We have it summarized in verse 17. "And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever." That's how the event was to be commemorated, that great event of the Passover. It was an anniversary to be observed. And tonight, we're just going to look back to 33 years ago, what led up to it, and why we have this service. And if anybody asks us, "Why do you have anniversaries every year? Why do you mark the opening of this building?" I want to give you at least the answer from my perspective, and I'm sure I speak for many. Let's notice then, first of all, what mean ye by this service? That it is a recollection. That's what we mean by it. That's what it meant to the children of Israel. The great Passover event that they were observing year by year by year by year for centuries, they would have been recollecting, going back in memory. Now, there were a couple of things that they needed to recollect. First of all, the need for the deliverance. If you turn back to Exodus chapter 1, you'll see the circumstances in which the children of Israel were. The very first chapter of this book of Exodus, verse 11. "Therefore they," that's the Egyptians, "did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens." Verse 12. "But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew." So the children of Israel were in a hard case. They were being persecuted. They were being oppressed. They were being tyrannized. Notice verse 13. "And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor." And then notice the next verse. This adds a new sinister dimension. "The king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiphrah and the other was pure. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not, as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men, children, alive. That's the backdrop. The children of Israel were having a time of affliction and persecution and slavery and tyranny. In the borough of Portadown in 1967, there was an increasing awareness by many people of the gathering darkness of the ecumenical movement and the deep shadows of apostasy as they sought closer association with the Roman Catholic Church. This ecumenical movement, as it was called then, was spearheaded by the World Council of Churches. And at that particular time, concerned people in Portadown invited Dr. Paisley to come for a gospel mission on the Brownstown Road. That mission took place just about now, in 1967, in the month of June. And through the preaching of the Lord's servant, many people were converted. And also, on a final night of the mission, or the night after the mission, a great meeting was held, and a sizable number of people heard the Lord's servant calling for separation from the World Council of Churches and the ecumenical movement. And some of you people here tonight were involved in that, and you heard the call and came out and became part of what came to be Portadown Free Presbyterian Church. But the problem was a great need. We had no building. And Free Presbyterians were viewed with suspicion and treated as the offscouring of all things in those days. And it was hard even to get a place to hold our meetings in. But the Lord touched the hearts of some, and there were places that were hired out to us, and we were able to have our Sunday services, even though we were moved about so many different times. But that's an important thing to keep in mind, that there was the need for deliverance. And as we look back, having our anniversary tonight, why have it? Well, we're recollecting of the need for a separated witness and a separated testimony in the borough of Portadown, as it was then, borough of Craigavon now. But notice something else that there was. There was not only the recollection of the need for the deliverance, but there was the recollection of the intervention of the Lord. God took the initiative with the children of Israel. Now, if you read the story of Exodus, you'll find time and time again, God came down among his people and gave Moses instructions what to say when he went into Pharaoh to seek the deliverance or the emancipation of the children of Israel. But Pharaoh was having none of it. But God himself took the initiative. And then in chapter 12 of Exodus, God comes to the final test, the final plague, if I may say that. There were nine others, and this one had to do with the death of the firstborn. And you get all the detail there in chapter 12. God says to Moses, Moses, tell the children of Israel. And Moses did. Says, take a lamb. Set it aside for a few days. Has to be a spotless lamb. And then, on the 14th day, slay it. Take its blood. Apply the blood to the doorpost and lintel. And then, eat the flesh, roast that night. And where the blood was applied on the doorpost, whenever the destroying angel came by, God placed himself about that house so that the destroying angel would not destroy the children of Israel. Or, to put it broadly, where there was blood on the house. And the Lord said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I will stay about you. And as a result of that, the children of Israel were preserved. Now, as we look back tonight, 33 years ago, and the opening of the building that first adorned this site, we are reminded not only of the need for a separatist witness and testimony, but we are reminded of God's intervention in bringing about this situation where we would at last have a building. They got ground. There was a sod. There was a sod cutting ceremony in the early 1970s.
And then things lay in abeyance for a while. And then we had a service to mark the commencement of work on the site in 1974. And then early in 1975, we had foundation stones laid, two of them at that time. They're out in the vestibule, the main vestibule. And then in 1975, Dr. Paisley came back again, turned the key and opened the building. And after a period of 8 years, we at last got into a building of our own from 1967 to 1975, 8 years. And we put it down to the mighty intervention of God in the Portadown area that brought about this congregation of the Free Presbyterian Church. We recollect that. We recollect it with fondness. Yes, there was a need, but there was God's intervention. And we recollect something else tonight, as the children of Israel would have. They would recollect how much they owed to Almighty God for the great preservation and the great deliverance that God gave them. We should never forget that. So whenever the children of Israel were having their Passover feast each year, and the children would say, "Daddy, what's this all about? What meaneth? What mean ye by this service?" I have no doubt in my mind that the parents would say, "Oh, son, daughter, the night that God passed through, we were serfs, slaves, we were in great need in this place, but the Lord intervened, and God set us free through the blood of the Lamb, and we are a free people today. You'll never know how much we owe to Him." What mean ye by the service? Simply, it's a recollection. We're entitled to look back at all the way the Lord has led us. But secondly, it was not only a recollection, it was a commemoration. They were commemorating something. First of all, they were commemorating the goodness and the power of God. No doubt when the children asked, "What mean you by this service?" the parents would say, "Oh, we're just commemorating what God has done for us." Turn over to chapter 2 of Exodus to see just how much God had cared for His people in their miserable circumstances. Verse 23. Exodus 2 and verse 23. "It came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning. And God remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them." Does that not teach you that God was all the while concerned for His people? Turn over to chapter 6. Notice verse 5. God speaking again, He says, "I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will bring you into the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it you for an heritage. I am the Lord." Oh, much had to be endured by the time that covenant was realized. But at last, the deliverance came. Notice chapter 12 and verse 27. "That ye say it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when He smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed their head and worshipped." God had intervened by His mighty power and by His goodness. And we commemorate the fact too tonight that God intervened in our circumstances in bringing about the separatist, Protestant, evangelical, fundamental gospel witness. in this borough. 8 years is a long time to wait from 1967 to 1975, but it was worth the wait. Look what God has given us on the work that has been carried on since that. But they not only commemorated the goodness and power of God, they would commemorate the commitment of the people. I want you to think about this for a moment. We're thinking about this, what mean ye by this service tonight? And I would have to pay tribute to those people that took their stand in 1967 and worked and sacrificed and served and showed tremendous commitment in those early days before we moved on to this site in 1975. They carried out, the children of Israel, God's instructions. They were given in verse 3, speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, and then all the instructions were given. Notice again in verse 21, these instructions that God received, that Moses received, were conveyed to the children of Israel. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, and then if you notice verse 28, the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. They provided a lamb. They gave of their substance. They carried out God's instructions. And then they gave of their substance. And that's what the people of 1967 did. Throughout that period that saw us come down to the site with a building. We had the building here. We had this room just immediately behind in the minister's room in the kitchen over there. And we had about 6 Sunday school classes upstairs. That's all we had. It was enough. We thought that we were in a paradise. We would have our own base for operations. But then the Sunday school grew so much that we were meeting out in here. And then we took an amazing decision. We were forced to do it. We had no choice. And that was, even though we were still in debt from the original building, to put up that Sunday school complex at the back with about 17 rooms off the main assembly hall, put us further into debt. God's people never murmured. They never objected. They never said, you're taking too much on yourselves. They never did. They just saw that it had to be done. And they dug deep. And inside a number of years, not a great number of years, because of the sacrifice of those people from 1967 right up to 1977, and the people who came during that time, the new people, they were all part of that great work, and we were commemorating. Tonight, we're thinking of how much they were committed and determined and dedicated they were in their sacrificial giving. What mean ye by the service? Why have this 33rd anniversary service? To commemorate God's intervention in his power and love and mercy. And to commemorate the people, many of them dead now, but they were the lifeblood of this congregation when they were in it. Well, there's one other thing I want you to notice. What mean ye by the service? It was a recollection, yes. It was a commemoration, yes. But it was also a proclamation. This Passover was actually a type, a foreshadowing of the way of the great salvation that God was providing spiritually for his people through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this service tonight is proclaiming that. What mean ye by this anniversary service? We are proclaiming the way of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this Passover entailed certain things. First of all, there was the misery of the Hebrew people. Their lives were being brought into the depths of despair by the terrible slavery and tyranny of Pharaoh and the Egyptians. God saw it. God was going to set his people free. And God's plan for the setting free of the people was by a lamb. And by the death of that lamb, by the shedding of its blood. And by the application of that blood on the doorposts of each home. And whenever God would pass through that night, as he said he would, and saw the blood. Now it does not say when he saw the people in the house. It says when he would see the blood, I'll pass over you. And it was because of the death of the lamb and the application of the blood that was shed that the people that were in that house were preserved and brought out of Egyptian bondage. And in years to come, whenever the children would say to their mum and dad, what mean ye by this service? The mum and dad would say, this was the grounds of our deliverance from the misery and the ultimate doom that would befall us in Egypt. And this is what this service means. We are remembering the great deliverance that our God gave. Now, this is paralleled by the gospel of our Lord Jesus. In fact, I go further and say that this is just a foreshadowing of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7, the word Passover and the word Christ and the word sacrifice are all brought together. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7 says, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us, indicating that there's a close connection between Christ and the Passover and the sacrificial work of the Lamb of God on the cross. And bear in mind, he is the Lamb of God. He's called the Lamb of God in John's Gospel and in the book of Revelation. And let me show you how this works out. Mankind is in great danger. So are we, lost on the way to hell. The Bible says, without God, without hope in the world, and abiding with the wrath of God abiding in us, our case is one of terrible misery and foreboding and doom. But God has looked down in our plight, and God has provided a deliverance from this awful sin. And that deliverance is in a lamb called the Lamb of God, the antitype of the Old Testament lambs that were sacrificed. And the Lord Jesus Christ had to die like that lamb in the Passover in Exodus 12 had to die. And the lamb's blood had to be shed. And my dear friend, that redemption has been provided, but the blood has to be applied now. And tonight, for those of you who are not saved, this is the proclamation. You need to be behind the blood of Christ. The blood needs to be upon you. You need to be encircled. You need to be sheltered by the atoning blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is your only hope of salvation. That's the gospel. That's why this anniversary service, to proclaim this great message, without shedding of blood there is no remission. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You've no hope anyway. Your religion will not suffice. Yourself effort will not avail. The Lord Jesus is the only hope that you have. He had to be crucified. He had to be slain. He had to offer himself as a sacrifice. And that's what the Passover, that's what that great service, that's what that great event proclaimed in type. And this is what we mean by our anniversary service tonight. We are proclaiming again the finished work of Christ, the shedding of his precious blood, and your need to avail yourself of it. You say, well, how do I avail myself of it? How can I come into the good of that? Number one, the Bible says you have to repent of your sins, and allied to that is you believe in Christ. There are steps that are both taken together. Repent and believe. That's the way the Bible puts it. Repent and believe. Turn from your sin. And in turning, you're putting your trust in Christ. and you'll be protected. You'll be saved if you'll do that. Will you do it tonight? What a lovely time as we have been having our anniversary service and looking back. What mean ye by this service? Why, you could say it was at this service on the 1st of June 2008 that I saw the significance of Christ's saving work, and I put my trust in Him, and now I'm saved by His grace. May God grant that you will.